Turn to you all. Please turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 in the New Testament. I'm going to read from verse 22. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with the disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Jesus Christ is the bread of life. As this chapter opens, chapter 6, we find that Jesus is preaching to a hungry multitude. He's been preaching for a while, and he becomes aware after he's finished that they are hungry, very hungry. So he does that which only God could do. As you read this miracle, it will dawn upon you that nobody else would be able to do this. Nobody else could feed this multitude. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he just takes 5 small loaves and 2 fishes, and from them, after having given thanks, he feeds a multitude. And somebody has worked it out that it's possibly as many as 15,000 souls there that the Lord Jesus Christ fed. The passage said that there were 5,000 men, so obviously there would be others there as well, maybe as many as 15,000. And after all the people were satisfied, the disciples took up 12 baskets full of extras left over, fragments left over from the miracle. One basket for every doubting disciple. It's a lovely picture that the Lord gives us of his abundant giving, his abundant ability. And it serves as an illustration for what he would tell them later, as recorded in this chapter 6, about the Lord Jesus himself being the bread of life. What's what we've just read. In this passage we're presented with a new portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ, one that had never been given before, one that possibly nobody would have ever thought of, and maybe they would have thought the expression that Jesus used quite strange. "I am the bread of life." it would appear perhaps to be a strange thing to say. Jesus here is presented as the bread of life. And it's an interesting portrait, a fascinating portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that that could mean to us today. Bread is a substance known and used throughout the world by many. Multitudes use bread in some form or other. From the Scot who goes down in the morning to get the loaf of mother's pride, to a native somewhere making their own bread, heating it up. We have leavened bread, we have unleavened bread. And I remember when my kids were young, there was a Barney song. And there was all sorts of bread that they sang about, that people ate, pumpernickel bread and this, that and the other. It's consumed by people everywhere. And most people enjoy their bread. As we go through life, we realise that some people don't always like meat. Some people don't always eat the greens, but most like their bread. But it's not something that we think about as being particularly important. It's something that we take for granted. I remember reading about a passage about just prior to the French Revolution that the chief of the police of Paris, every day he would ask what the price of bread was. And if he knew that the price was escalating, that his day would be a difficult one. Bread was very important to Paris at that time, and people were starving because of the lack of it. It's one of the few foods that can be tolerated by most digestive systems. And when we take all of this together, the importance of it, it can become clear to us why the Lord Jesus Christ is portrayed as the bread of life. And I want us to see that he still is the bread of life to us all, that we can feed on him. There isn't a person in the world who cannot tolerate him. There isn't a person in the world who wouldn't enjoy him when they met him, if they meet him. He is the bread of life. So I want to look at the personality of heaven's bread, because heaven's bread, the bread of heaven, is a person. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? According to these verses, the bread of heaven isn't a system. It's not a denomination. It's a person. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this truth reminds us that we can never be saved by any system, by any religious system or denomination or coming into a building. We're not saved by that, but we're saved by a person. Salvation comes through Jesus and through Jesus Christ alone. He is the only true bread from heaven. Heaven's bread is a person, not an object or a system. Heaven's bread also has power. It has the power to save, to secure, and to satisfy those who feed upon this bread, upon this person. Every sinner who comes to him by faith. And that is what separates faith in the Lord Jesus Christ from anything else that people teach or preach that saves. Any alternative to the Lord Jesus Christ, to belief on him and salvation through him. They promise much, but they fail to deliver the security, the salvation, the satisfaction that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ can give. The way that they give leads only to death. The way of man is death. The way that seems right to a man leads to death. So says the Proverbs. But Jesus, on the other hand, he promises life. He promises salvation and security. And he does deliver. That is what this bread from heaven gives. Security and satisfaction. And absolute safety for the soul of man. That's what we read towards the end of that portion that I read. That what has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ is safe and secure and cannot be taken away. So heaven's bread has power. It also has promise. This passage tells us that the bread of heaven gives life. Physical life doesn't last. We can be sustained for a period of time upon physical bread, but it doesn't sustain us forever. And the Lord teaches that to these people who ask him about it. They said that God gave them manna in the wilderness, or Moses gave it, and they ate it. But you know, those people died eventually. They died. Those people, those 5,000 at least, who took even that bread that the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously produced, died. Eventually, they died. They perished. Jesus, on the other hand, is bread that gives everlasting life. That is his promise. If we feed on him, we have everlasting life. When Jesus is received, he gives a salvation that lasts for all time. A salvation that lasts for all eternity. And the simple fact is that every person who places their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is going to live forever. Not physically, but spiritually, as we have fed on him and believed on him. So heaven's bread has a promise, but there is also a price. Heaven's bread has a price. And it's this. Before the bread of heaven can be enjoyed by the sinner, it must be received by the sinner. It must be received, believed upon. It's a simple enough thing, but so many stumble upon this because it is so simple that we just simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Place our faith and trust on what he has done, who he is and what he has done on the cross, and we believe in him. When you look at man-made religion, it can get very extremely complicated and hard. Man makes it so difficult for anyone to achieve any kind of satisfaction. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith on him, is simple. If we believe that Jesus is real, that he died for us, that he rose again from the dead, then we simply trust him. We must come to him by faith, and we are born again. Just to illustrate, imagine you were asked to my house for dinner. It's not going to happen, but imagine you were asked to my house for dinner. And I got the biscuits out, I put them on a tray, bought them round with a coffee, offered you a biscuit, and you were delighted to be offered the biscuit. You really wanted a biscuit, but you didn't take it. That would be a strange thing, wouldn't it? And I would say to you, do you want the biscuit? Yes, I'd really like to have the biscuit, but you don't take it. And I'll end up saying something to you, well, if you want it, you're going to have to reach out and take it. And salvation is like that. It doesn't cost us a penny to place our faith and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. The price has already been paid. Jesus Christ has done everything that is necessary to save the sinner. Everything. There is nothing that I can do. No amount of moral renewal in my life that I need to make will ever achieve rightness with God, righteousness with God. He has done it all. He's done all that he can do. And before you can be saved, you need to trust him and come to him by faith and believe in Jesus. So heaven's bread has a price, and it's faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the personality of heaven's bread. But the presentation of the bread of heaven, with the passage that we've read, contains a few things that are of interest. First of all, it's illustrated by the miracle itself in the feeding of the 5,000. In this, Jesus presented a type of himself. He showed himself to be caring for the multitude. He realized that they were hungry. So he showed himself to be caring. He showed himself able to provide for the multitude and able to satisfy the multitude. And the implication is that Jesus, just like the physical loaves and the fishes, is able to satisfy the hunger and the need of mankind. On that occasion, it was physical. But Jesus declares it to be so much more than that. He is the all-sufficient Saviour. When you read the passage, you'll notice that every man took as much as they would. It would have been an inexhaustible sufficiency. If there had been 5,000, if there had been 15,000, 50,000, a million, he is all sufficient. Because even after they'd filled themselves, there was an abundance left over. And it's true with salvation as well. It's something that we cannot exhaust. Even though hundreds of millions have been saved, there is always room for more. There is always the ability of Christ to save more. He is inexhaustible. All you have to do is trust in him with faith. And then he uses the illustration of the manna. The Jews came to Jesus, they pursued him, and they asked him for a miracle, a sign. What did they call the feeding of the 5,000? The feeding of the multitude. They'd seen that, and yet still they asked for yet another sign. And in doing so, they remind the Lord Jesus of that incident of the Old Testament of the manna. They tell Jesus that Moses gave the children of Israel manna in the desert. What are you going to do for us? Is the challenge. Christ's response was to remind them that Moses was not the man responsible for the giving of the manna. That was God the Father. He was the one who'd done that. He was the one who gave them this bread from heaven. And then he goes on, as we've said, to declare that the bread of heaven, the true bread of heaven, is a person, and that he himself is that person. He himself is that bread. He is the bread of life. So what he was saying is that the manna in the desert was a type of himself, an illustration of what the true bread from heaven was like. And we find that passage about the giving of the manna in Exodus chapter 16, where in response to the Israelites' grumblings and saying that we'd be better if we'd stayed in Egypt, the Lord gave them this gift of manna every morning for them to eat. What we notice about it as we read the passage in Exodus, if you can remember it, is first of all that it was small. It was just like a frost upon the ground. It was small. How does that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ? It speaks of his humility and the humble manner in which he came to this scene. He wasn't born in a king's palace, but in a manger, a food trough. He never employed all the riches that were at his disposal, all the fantastic wonders that he could have done when he came to this scene. But he lived a poor life all the time that he was here in this world. He lived a poor and humble life. And he came this way in order to identify himself with the sinners he came to save. It was small. The manna was small. The manna was also round in appearance. And this speaks of Christ's eternal nature. Jesus did not have his beginning in Bethlehem. He was from eternity to eternity. He has always been. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. There has never been a time when he wasn't. There will never be a time when he isn't. He is eternal. He is the I am. So it was small, it was round, it was also white. That tells us about the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sinless, holy nature. Born without sin, lived without sin, and died without sin. Absolutely impeccable in character is the Lord Jesus Christ. White, pure. It also came at night time. And Jesus came to a world full of spiritual darkness and wickedness to save it. To save it, not to destroy, but to save. It was also misunderstood by those who saw the manna. Do you know what manna means? What is it? That's what it means. What is it? They didn't understand what it was. They didn't understand what this gift was. It was misunderstood. And Jesus was also misunderstood by those he came to save. He was misunderstood by his own people. Those who he came amongst, the Jewish people, they misunderstood him. He's still misunderstood today. Many people see him just as a good man. One who walked this earth for a time and tragically was put to death. But he's so much more than that. Many people even say that he was a good and holy man, perhaps a prophet. But he was much more than that. He is the Son of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. That manna was also sufficient for every man's need. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our all-sufficient Saviour. He meets the need of every man's soul. You will find that he is sufficient to save your soul. And in abundance as well. God gave them approximately 240 truckload of manna every day for 40 years. An abundance of supply that they weren't always grateful for. The manna was sweet to taste. In Exodus chapter 16 verse 31, those who took the manna and tasted it found it to be sweet like honey. And all those who received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour found that he is sweet to the taste. David says in the psalm, "Come and taste and see that the Lord is good." The manna was sweet to taste. There's more that could be said about the manna. Much more that we could have in ministry upon it. But it illustrates the Lord Jesus Christ, his wonder and his glory, his sufficiency, and it's a wonderful thing to think about that he is the bread of heaven. He is the ultimate bread of heaven. The Israelites ate of that manna and they died. The crowd filled on the mountainside, yet eventually they too died. Jesus is the antitype of the manna. All that it was, he exceeds. And that's the same with every type of Christ in the Bible. All that that type is, the Lord Jesus Christ exceeds and is much better. Jesus is greater than the bread given out upon the mountainside. The one who feeds on him will live forever. Jesus is the real bread from heaven. Then we can look at the performance of the bread of heaven. The performance. First of all, it grants salvation. Man can try any method of salvation that they choose. That's one of the great privileges of being a human being, isn't it? That we have free will to go which way, for the most part, we want to go. We are free to pursue our chosen path. At least that's what it appears to be like, isn't it? We're created with a free will. Salvation will never be produced in a life apart from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the only true bread from heaven. Anything else that we care to feed upon will lead to disappointment and death. That may seem narrow-minded, It may seem simplistic, but that's the way it is. That's what the Bible teaches. That's how it always will be. Heaven's bread, the Lord Jesus, gives salvation. It also gives satisfaction, something else we've spoken about. But those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ will be eternally satisfied. When we live the Christian life, we still might find some things unsatisfactory, usually when we look inwards at ourselves and what we are like. And we find that we can be a disappointment to ourselves. But it will be the undoubtful testimony of everyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ that they are satisfied with Him, with what He has done for them in their lives and in their eternal soul. They will be satisfied with the salvation that He gives. You'll find that you've tapped into a source of life and blessing that is unparalleled by anything else. There is the abundant satisfaction of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that this world can never satisfy. Something that this world can never give. Greek mythology has a character called King Tantalus. And he was punished in the underworld. And how he was punished, he was given this great thirst. And he was placed in a lake. And every time he went down to the lake to quench that thirst, it receded. And he could never quench his thirst. He was given a great hunger. And hung above him were all kinds of fruit and things to eat. And every time he went to reach, these things receded. And he could never satisfy his hunger. That's where we get our word tantalize from. Something that is tantalizing. And that's what the world is like. We can pursue all sorts of things, but they will never satisfy. The only true bread from heaven is the one who can do that. And it's something that guarantees our security. In verses 37 to 40, these verses tell us beyond a shadow of a doubt that the one who places their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ has no need of any fear of being cast away. We are in safe hands forever. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees us perfect and eternal security. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing is the bread from heaven. From what we've read and looked at, it's plain to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope for the world. And just as bread could be a universal food, so too, the Lord Jesus Christ is the universal Saviour. There isn't any race of man who can be let down by Him when they have trusted Him, trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you secure in this salvation? Are you secure in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you taken and eaten of this bread from heaven? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read through the Gospels, there are so many instances of His sufficiency, His abundance in all that He did, and all that He gives, especially in salvation. All those multitudes that were fed through one work that He did. And yet there is a greater spiritual application to all of this as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, that we can be eternally satisfied through what He has done and through who He is. Our Father, we pray that we would come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and discover that realm of perfect satisfaction in His person. Father, again, we would thank you for your word and all that it can mean to us. And we ask that as we part, you would help us to consider these things. throughout the day, and to examine and see where we are in relation to the bread of life, the bread of heaven. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.